There we go. Yes, and the biblical words of Advent we're going to look at today are hope, peace, joy, and love. And I guess I'm just thrilled. I think we've done this a couple of times before, but just thrilled to have some people at the front, up front sharing who may not all be up the front the whole time, often. And just really believe actually God can speak through any of us, can't he? And encourage any of us through what any one of us has to share. So, and I'm especially delighted because usually with these things, if you're asking kind of a number of people, you'd usually get one, at least you'd get, I'm really sorry, I'm away that. All four said yes straight away. So yeah, so I mean, I'm believing that these are the four that God, so no pressure. But Danny is going to come up first, and Danny's going to be sharing on the theme of hope, followed by Vicky on the theme of peace. Mike, where are you, Mike? Oh, there you are. Thank you, Mike. Mike's doing a share on joy, and then Katie finishing up on the theme of love. So, Danny, why don't you come up? Brilliant. Why don't we give them a round of applause when they come up? Great.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Yes. So we are now light up the first candle of Advent wreath. The first candle is the candle of hope. Okay. Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Danny, and I'm very happy to have chance to share this evening. Yeah. Thank you for your patience for my English is not good enough. Thank you. Thank you. Before my sharing, I would like to let you ask you to guess something. Guess. So maybe you can guess what is this. So just guess in your heart. You don't need to like answer at the moment. Yeah, just four wordings in the cardboard, right? Four Chinese wording. Actually, Hong Kong wordings is traditional Chinese. It's different from the wordings in China. Anyway, four wordings in the cardboard. But for me, it's more meaningful. I will tell you what is it in my sharing, okay?
Okay.
Maybe I up. Yeah, I'll just put it here. Thank you. So, this is a story about my old friend in a church in Hong Kong. It happened in 1996, like 20 something years before. Yes, I was very new in the church, just newcomer in the church, and then everyone in the church is very nice, like you guys, very nice to me, like welcome, hello. Very good, yeah. I feel very warm in the church. And then someone, a boy there, was very special. He just looked like, I was around 15 years old when I went to church, and that guy just looks only 12 years old. Not tall, around 150, 160. With a hat, always with a hat, with a cap, like a basement cap. Never take it off. I don't know what happened. Just feel, oh, it's very special. And then just a little boy. But actually, in fact, he was around 17, 18, even like older than me. But he just looked like a young boy. And then very weird to me. And then I saw him every time in the church. He never absent. And then he was really talkative, really joyful, and then always smile, and then always tell some bad jokes. I don't think it was very interesting, but I still laugh. Yeah. He always make the atmosphere very well. Yep. As I was really new in church, and then he helped me to get involved in the church, don't make me feel alone, and then approach me, talk to me. And then a lot of about Jesus. I don't have any idea about Jesus before because I'm not grow up in a Christian family, in a Christian school. No, it was my first time to approach Jesus when I went to church. And then he encouraged me to read Bible, but he never played sports, because when I go to church in secondary school, it's quite big, and then with a basketball court, and then we always play basketball, and then play some game, some board game, but he didn't join. And then after a while, we became a good friend, and then sometimes we went out for watch some movie, and then for TV game. And then he kept telling me what God is love, Jesus is good. And then sometimes he asked me, oh, do you believe God? And then my model answer was, maybe later, just maybe later. I didn't want to make decisions. Sometimes I feel, oh, don't ask again. Don't keep asking me this question. But he keep asking me. And then sometimes he even said that, what if we don't know what happened tomorrow? What if something happened tomorrow? And then you have to grab the chance to believe in God. Okay. And then later on, I understand why he always got the urgency about let people to believe in God. Because he was sick. Why he didn't grow up? He just looked like a 12 years old boy. He always with a cap, because he got no hair. Because of some treatment, he got cancer. He got a tumor in his brain. And then just not long, around 1 or 2 years later, he was already in a wheelchair. And then, but he still insisted to go to church, because at that time there's no online worship. But you know, in Hong Kong, when you're in a wheelchair, it's not easy to go to church. Not very friendly to wheelchair. And then it's not easy to own a car. We also rely on the public transport, like take the train or bus. And then when I last time I saw him, he cannot even talk, just like lie on a wheelchair. And then soon he passed away. Okay, now this is what I can give the answer. What is it? This is the wordings he designed to show on his gravestone. This wording is in Cantonese Hong Kong is 神的子民. In English is the people of God. The people of God. He used it instead of just I'm a Christian. But he used it the people of God. In Chinese wordings, it's got two implications. To human being, like to people, it's very powerful. It's very proud. I'm the son of the God. I'm very honored. I'm very grateful. I'm very... the son is so great. The God is so great. He make everything. He is the greatest one. This is one implication. Another implication is, to the God, he is very humble. I'm just one of the people of the God. So this is what he used in his grave. So he totally understand how much longer of his life left when he went to church, so he didn't waste every single time when he has have chance to like share the gospel. So that's why he keep like push. Maybe it's not the best approach, but at the end, it's in my mind. At that time I feel this trouble. Oh, don't make me annoying. But at the end, he's in my memory, in my life. So I think a lot of like the people who are close to death got a to-do list. Like I have to travel to somewhere, I have to try something that I didn't try. I think in his to-do list, the first priority is I have to use the time left in my life to share Jesus, to share the gospel. This is what is the first priority in his to-do list. So when he lived with sickness, I saw his hope. I saw his hope of him, even though he was so close to death. And then to me, he set a very good example as to how to be a people of God. And then I believe we will meet in the heaven in the future. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
We now light the second candle of the Advent wreath, and this is the candle of peace. Hello, offspring. Can you hear me in the back? A year ago, on Thursday, after surgery and the time in hospital, my mum went home to Jesus. It was a heartbreaking 5 days going back and forth to visit her with my dad, praying that she would get better and wake up. Through all of that, and after she died, my dad showed me the true meaning of the perfect peace that we have in Jesus. This is my dad talking to his dad. It's one of my favorite photos, my brother Snooket. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid." I hadn't fully appreciated the peace that passes understanding, not fully experienced it until I followed Dad's example. Dad was completely at peace the whole time, resting in his father's arms. It was remarkable to witness, grief but no panic, pain but no stress. As I walked with Dad through this time, Father wrapped his arms around me too, and I felt comfort and peace. That's also why I cry a lot at church. I have learned that peace comes from surrendering yourself and your life fully to God, which is a scary thing to do because we like to be in control, allowing him complete command over every situation. And I've learned that praise is the answer to all things, good and bad. Consciously acknowledging the majesty and power and love of our Lord brings peace. In Matthew 6, 33 to 34, Jesus told us, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." When we live each day focused on Jesus, not longing for the past or striving for the future, there we find peace. Our God knows the hairs on our head. Our names are written in his palm. He knows our desires and pain. Choose to trust in the one who knew you before the world began and who loves you beyond all imagination.
So I'm going to light the third candle on the wreath, which is the candle of joy. So I want to start by showing a quick video which fills me with joy, a particular thing that happens to me. Here we go. Has it stopped? There she goes. I don't know. She was built for this. You just get her off the lead and off she goes. That's our Labrador. Oh, I don't know. There we go. She just seems to be built for that. And sometimes I just let her off the lead and I feel the joy and I can see the joy. There it goes. Yeah. Okay. Here's the second video that some of you might be able to relate to. There we go. And now my wife has only ever been to one football match and she has never experienced that yet. It was a 0-0 draw. There we go. Thank you. Right, let's move on then. So if you look up the definition of joy in the dictionary, you'll find out it's got a sort of twin definition. It talks about it being an intense emotion, and it talks about things being a source of joy. So when I got married to my dear lovely wife here, I had an intense emotion of joy in my heart, so inside me. But since that time, Val is now my joy. So it's the two things there. And I want to concentrate on this thing that joy is something within you, but it's triggered by something outside you. And so in the football match that we saw there, there was a trigger for all that joy, and it was a goal being scored in the last minute. Yeah, so there we go. So I've put down a couple of things here on the next slide. So it's joy is something that's deep inside. I sometimes think of it as being a sort of tickle inside, or a sort of an inward chuckle, you know, that gets me going. It may be collective, or it may be on your own. So joy can suddenly hit you in a moment in the middle of a field or something like that. Or it's felt collectively with a group of other people. Another thing you find with joy is it tends to be rather fleeting. It comes and then it goes. And then you're faced with a time where there's no joy deep down in my heart. And you know, as Christians, we have to be able to cope with those times. But the Bible does say that joy comes in the morning. Here we go. And I've put down there, it usually has a cause. So on my next one, I've got a couple of my triggers for joy. The first one is to do with my kids. You know, when I hear the stories about some of the things my kids are doing, that just causes the deep chuckle inside me. I just get this, whoa, yes, God, that's great. You've done it. And I used to get this very frequently, and the other teachers amongst us will understand this, that you get it with teaching. You'd prepare this lesson, and then you deliver it, and it would go well, and you feel, whoa, that was good. And then you'd see your kids prospering. So I mean, through when I taught in the King's School here in Basingstoke, I've taught people who are now doctors up and down the country. Yeah, and sometimes I'm sort of just, yeah, may I be sick in Liverpool? Because then I can be treated by Dr. So-and-so. And again, it gives you such joy. And the next slide shows a place where Jesus had just this joy. One of his disciples had just been revealed. They just had something revealed to them. And at that time, it says, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, he said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children. You know, so Jesus got that, you know, about being the teacher. Now, the next one is, this is church leaders. Now, we've had a lot talked about in the last few weeks about our leaders. Well, if we read this bit from 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of the Lord Jesus when he comes? Isn't it you? Ooh, think about that. Do you want your leaders to have some joy? Well, you get on and follow God, and that will be joy for your leaders. It's good, isn't it? It's good. So he says, you are our glory and our joy. How about that? Okay, so let's have a quick look at Jesus. Now this is a strange one, and I just want to link this through to something that happened earlier in the service. So let's have a look at the quotes there. It says in Hebrews 12, "Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who was the pioneer and perfecter of our faith." Here's the strange bit. "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." Now, that does not mean that Jesus found the cross joyful. He saw beyond that. And he saw a joy set before him. When Andy read that bit from Isaiah to us, it talks about in his time of seeing his offspring. That in his time of suffering, he saw his offspring. He saw you, Ryan. Ray, he saw you. Robert, he saw you. I just went for the R's. Robin, there we go. He saw you on that cross. And just like the leaders, you are Jesus's joy. You are. I don't feel like that. You're his joy. And that is why he went through the cross, to suffer and die for you, the joy set before him.
I'm going to light the fourth candle. This represents love. I really like The Muppets Christmas Carol. It's my absolute favourite Christmas film. And in The Muppets Christmas Carol, they say, "Whenever you find love, it feels like Christmas." Christmas is a time to show love to others, but also to reflect on how loved you truly are and how God really does love you. I looked up how many times love was mentioned in the Bible, and in the NIV translation, it is 551 times. That is a lot of love, and that shows how love is really important. It's just so important. And I also looked up the Google definition of love. Google said it is a person or thing that one loves, but that definition doesn't really actually tell you what love is. So I turned to the Bible, and lots of you probably know this, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, you get another definition of love. This is, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous and it is not proud. Love is not rude, is not selfish, and does not get upset with others. Love does not count up wrongs that have been done. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love has patiently accepted all things. It always trusts, always hopes, and always remains strong." And even if we have love in our hearts, none of us can love like that says to love. Because we get jealous, we lose our patience, we can be selfish. But God is love, and he can love like that. He is patient with you. You can turn, and he will wait for you to come back, and he will welcome you back. He does not count our wrongs. We can ask for forgiveness, and your slate will be wiped clean time and time again. Love we give to one another and for ourselves isn't perfect, but the love God has for us is more than perfect. So this Christmas, we need to try and show God's love to people around us, show extra gratitude, forgive more, and again from The Muppets Christmas Carol, it's the season of the Spirit, and the message if we hear it is to make it last all year.
Amazing, hey? Well, they could. Thank you very much to Danny, to Vicky, to Mike, and to Katie for each sharing with us. And I don't know, even as Katie was sharing there, I just felt a sense of joy, as Mike shared, in just all that each one of them had bought and shared with us. Appreciate also the vulnerability that you guys shared with as well. Just wonderful, very encouraging, and thank you very much.